Thank you, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the SCI call on the 9th of August, 2012. On the call today, we have Andy Graves, Paul Fulvish-Northern, James Waddell, Ray Fassett, Anne Ackman-Scalise, Juan Andros, and J. Scott Evans. We have apologies from Jonathan Robinson, Carlos Aguirre, Mary Wong, Avery Doria, Christopher Papak, and Luca Koenig. From staff, we have Julie Headland, Glenda Saint-Géry, Barry Cobb, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you very much, and hello, everybody, to our session here. So I would like to thank, well, that you did some work in between when I was out for vacation, and I tried, well, to get updated with what happened in the past, and there was planned also another meeting in between, which then was deferred because many people were out. So we decided, well, to have this meeting today, and I would just go through the agenda. The second point is for the agenda is statement of interest. Is there anybody who has something to disclose with regards
to the
FDI?
Hey, Wolf, this is Ray Fassett. Wolf, Ray Fassett on that point.
Yes, please, Ray.
Actually, Wolf, as you know, I was part of the GCOT that you were on as well, and that's where we came up with the whole statement of interest. And I'm afraid I've just been notified I'm guilty of not updating my or submitting a statement of interest online. And the reason I mention this is because I was recently requested to do so, but I need a login and password, I guess, to do that, and I have not received that. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out there.
So thank you very much, Ray. So that means, but are you on the way in contact with staff to get the password for?
Yeah, supposedly one was coming my way, but that was a few days ago, a week ago maybe, and I have not received it, so I'll have to follow up and get that.
Okay, good, great.
Thanks, Ulrich, this is Glenn.
Yes,
oh, hi,
hello,
Glenn.
Sorry
yes.
to butt in, but perhaps it might be useful for other people too about the statement of interest and the login. When you go to login, you have already in the system, Ray, got the permission to log into it, and your password has probably just been forgotten by you or not got to you. So please just click on Forgot My Password, and you'll get another one.
Oh, okay.
Simple. It's as simple as that.
Great. I will do that, Glenn. Thank you for that clarification.
And that applies to anybody else, too, who wants to update their statements of interest or get into the system, because there are a lot of people already in the system that probably don't realize it, so just click on the, in fact, forgot password.
And where is that, Glenn?
Okay,
it's
great.
When you log in to the URL.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll check that.
Thank you. Sorry for disturbing you.
Yes, no problem. Well, I have another question in this context. So with regards to, but it refers to Adobe Connect as well, because I forgot my password as well. And every time, well, I'm logging in as a guest then. So because, is that the same password? So
it's the same process. You can just ask for forgot your password.
Okay, good. We'll do that next time.
And you can reset your password.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Approval of the agenda, any amendments, any additions, any questions to the agenda? Hearing none. So now the next point, so we go to the same, but I put the same agenda from the, which was suggested the last time when the meeting was deferred. I put it all these items on the agenda. And so the next one would be then the status of the update on community review with regards to that, what have been done already and have been sent out for public comment and so on. And Julie sent us a short update. Julie, could you just explain that briefly, what the status is, please?
Yeah, so thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Hedlund. And so the status is that the initial comment period has ended, and that was on the 30th of July, and now we are in the reply period, which goes until August 20th. We received one comment in the initial period, and that was from the registry stakeholder group from David Maher, and that was in support of the proposed changes. So we will leave, of course, the period open through the 20th of August, at which point we staff will gather up the comments. There is a comment analysis tool that we can use and present them to the SCI members for consideration.
Okay, thank you very much, Julie. By the way, to be fully clear about this process, what do we expect from the reply period? Is that that we should reply in case there are comments?
No, this is Julie Hedlund. So the reply period, as I understand it, is the opportunity for someone to reply to comments that were received in the initial comment period. So, for instance, someone could conceivably take issue with the support that the registry stakeholder group has expressed in its initial comment and could reply either, also in support of that comment or, in any sort of way. So really these are these replies to comments that are in the comment. It also is an option. Of course, someone can register a comment in the reply comment period that might still be an initial comment and not in response to a comment that was received in the initial comment period.
Okay, so this is a comment on comment period, isn't it?
Yes, essentially, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so fully understood that way. So that means that, for example, let me say, in this case, we only have just one comment, but if you have more comments and there are replies as well, so the group itself, which puts something out for public comment, is waiting for the end of the whole period, and then may then react on all the comments. See, the comments as well as the comments to the comments. So this is the process of how I understand. Is that correct?
This is Julie Hedlund. As I understand it, that is correct. And there is actually an analysis tool that staff now use to gather up the comments and present them in a way that is easy for the SCI members to go through. And then it's the SCI members who would consider those comments and replies and determine whether or not there are any changes that are unwarranted because of them.
Okay, so let's just talk about a little about these points because of the consequences of that. So you mentioned the 20th of August shall be the end of that the full comment period, and so what is going to be done then? So do we have to, because I understand this point content agenda, we drafted an addition, an amendment of the rules, the council rules of procedure. So then if there is no opposition to that, so then we are going, or staff is going to provide the implementation to the rules. Is that the way how it works?
So this is Julie. I think that what has to happen once the SCI members have had the opportunity to review the comments, and if the SCI members have decided that for example, if they were all positive and there were no need to change, say either the consent agenda item or the voting thresholds table item, then the council would, I think that the SCI would then ask the council for a motion to, you know, indicating that, that the period has closed, that, you know, that this is the final version of these changes to the operating procedure, and that the council, you know, approves these changes, you know, at which point they would go into, you know, a revised version of the GNSO council operating procedures.
Okay. Okay. Fully understand. So we shall wait to the 20th of August, and then we can get in contact on the list or by a meeting, by the next meeting, and then go that way, which you just outlined. Is there any question, any comment to this? No, so I think that is that seems to be clear. So that is both consent agenda and voting council voting results table. So then point number five item, we have the discussion on the proxy voting procedure. And the question was more or less it was the question to have no change to the procedure rather than a kind of slight modification of the publication by the secretariat. So that's if I'm correct, or Julie, you could just briefly explain that, and then I think we could discuss if there is some point to discuss.
Thank you, Wolf. This is Julie Hedlund. So the proposal was that the GNSO Council procedures would not be changed,
yes.
But the staff were asked to explore whether or not. When a person, council member, puts in a notification of, you know, of absence or of proxy, I should say, that at the same time that that notification is sent to the secretariat, it would also be sent to the GNSO council list. And I did check with our information technology staff, and they have confirmed that it is possible to have a dual notification so that those two things can happen simultaneously. And the council then would be notified immediately upon someone registering a proxy.
Okay. Thank you, Judy. Well, I have to excuse myself because until now I don't have an Adobe Connect connection with me, so I have a problem here with connecting, so I can't see if anybody is raising hands or not. So
yes, this is Julie Hedlund, and Wolf Ulrich, I'll be happy to monitor that for you, and I should note that Ron Andruff does have his hand up.
Okay, thank you very much. Excuse me, Ron, so I couldn't see that. Please, go ahead. Ron, can you hear us?
I beg your pardon, I was just getting off mute.
Yes.
No problem, Wolf Ulrich. I just raised my hand as you were finishing speaking, so you were not insulting me in the least, my friend. I think that as we've spoken on several occasions here in within the SCI, the idea of having a lighter touch and not trying to start creating new processes and policies within our body, rather try to streamline and knock edges off of things that don't work, this happens to be a perfect example of that. I think that the position that we've come to within the SCI, the idea of no change to procedure, but improving on the methodology of notification, and having heard from Julie just now that the tech team believes that's not a problem, I think that's an excellent solution, and fully support this way forward. Thank you.
Whoever it is who's could you mute if you have a conversation going on in your office? Because
Yes, unfortunately, that's my office, so I will go back on mute. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Juan. So, fully understood. So, we have this proposal of the modification. And so how shall we deal with it right now? So because it seems to be that we have here an agreement on that. So is it that the way that we should put it forward to the council as well as a recommendation for an amendment or an addition to the rules to deal with that? And okay, that's what how we would like to see that. Is that the way? And then with a motion, the council could accept it. So I think that could be a way. Or is there any other idea or any other opinion on that?
And Wolf Ulrich, I see that Ron Andruff has his hand up.
Do you still have your hands up? Now I can see him.
Apologies. That was too late. I will take my hand down. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Wolf Ulrich, this is Julie Hedlund. This actually does not, this change does not require a change to the GNSO Council operating procedures.
Okay.
Because it's simply a change to essentially the technology, what happens, you know, when the proxy is submitted. The GNSO Council operating procedures are silent as to how many notifications there might be. Other than that, the notification would go to the secretariat, which it does indeed.
Yeah.
So I think we determined there would not be a need for a change to the procedures. So I imagine if the SCI members agreed that they could simply recommend to the council that this change be made so that the council at least understands what's happening. I don't know if it would even need to be dealt with in the form of a motion. Perhaps
yes.
Bond would know, since it doesn't actually require a change to the procedures.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much, Julie. What I think we should be done, because it was brought up by the council, so we have to, let me say, to refer to the council, at least, explaining what we have discussed and why we came to that decision. What was discussed, or what kind of alternatives have been discussed with regard to proxy voting, the pros and cons of modification, and just a short summary of that discussion, and to put it forward to the council. That's what I'm thinking. We should do. I think then the council is waiting for that, and then explaining. Okay, that's the results, how we came up. My question is for that, who could do that? Julie, is that possible? That you, because I was seeing as well for the content agenda, there are some points, bullet points have been put together to explain what was done. Would that be possible from your side to put some bullet points together?
Wolf Ulrich, yes, this is Julie Hedlund. I'd be happy to do that. I imagine that it would probably be best that it came from you to the council, but I'm more than happy to provide you with some bullet points and text to consider.
Yes. Just some bullet points, and I'll put it forward under the council. We shall have the next council meeting in September, so and I will put it on the agenda and explain where we are and why we came to that result. Okay, is that accepted by, or any other comment from anybody here? I don't see, so I think that's where we have agreement as well. So thank you very much. So next point is a more contentious one. It's deferral of motions. I saw also from the list that it was discussed last time, and there was discussion also on the wiki. To my knowledge, or if I'm right, there was, because there was this discussion on pros and cons of deferral and how to do that, that there was a suggestion or was it an item that I have read that Margie and Marika would come up, or would try, well, to come up with some suggested language to that. I think Marika is on vacation right now, and is that possible? How can we continue with that? Is somebody here in the round to can explain that, please?
This is Julie Hedlund, Wolf Ulrich. Let me make sure that I have the right item up. The language that Marika provided actually has to do with delaying a PDP, as opposed to the deferral of motions, which I think, let me bring that up also. I have, hold on, deferral of motions, let me bring up the right document here. Here is the some of the discussion on the wiki on deferral of motions as Marika had captured it for the meeting on July 12th. And that was a sub-team that had Ron Andruff, Angie Graves, Wolf Ulrich, yourself, Krista Avery, and Carlos.
Mm.
I think that is the item that we are discussing at this point, but others may correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, it's you're right, Julie. So what I was referring to right now is because it was the minutes or something, the minute of your last meeting with Avery, so in July. So there is under the point deferral of motions. There was she was writing, there was a discussion of the work in the wiki pages. As a possible solution might involve crafting some definitions to mark the difference between a delay or a change to the charter timeline and an indefinite delay or suspension. Margie offered that she and Marika will look into suggesting some language. So that's where I came from in the minutes of the last meeting. And that is my question, how to deal with that. And I see Ron here and would like to ask him. Ron, please.
Thank you, Wolfovic. Again, we talk about light touch. Deferral of motions, the real issue that was coming out in from the BC point of view would be a situation where we would have not enough information available to come out to the community for the community to actually have a conversation about it. And as we have talked before, a motion can come on the table really at the last minute because people are scrambling within their constituency to get that motion together, and then it gets presented to the council really at the last minute. So we talked again about this idea of socializing a motion, something that was maybe not a fully baked cake, but something that was in the works within a constituency that could have been circulated earlier in advance for the various communities to at least have a heads up that it was coming. So when it happens that a deferral situation should arise, I think we all were in agreement that if a situation like that were to arise, it would be best that to say, okay, a deferral is possible. However, it's only until the very next council meeting, and then it's right on the top of the agenda that it gets dealt with. And in that way, we would not have anybody gaming the system by pushing off and deferring. It would only be one deferral, perhaps two. I've seen in the list suggestions that two might be possible. I'm, you know, agnostic on that. One or two would be fine. I think one would be probably better, just to keep it a tight leash on that concept of deferrals. But clearly, we should allow for a deferral because there could be all manner of reason why a constituency or a support group needs to have the extra time. But once it is deferred, it needs to be on the very next agenda and be discussed as quickly as possible. So I think if we can find a way to do this, again, with a light touch, that would be my recommendation. Thank you.
Okay, Ron. Now we have on the Adobe is what is on the wiki. And just before, there was this paper from Marika, which I saw right now the first time. So was that sent out? It seems to be, but I'm missing that. So could somebody, maybe Julie, send it to me again or also to the group if you didn't receive that? Please.
Yes, Wolf Ulrich, I'll send it around. I should note that, however, that I think there might have been an error in the minutes from the last meeting in that, or the notes, in that the language that was requested from staff, from Margie and Marika, relates to the suspending of a PDP.
Okay.
They're down in our agenda.
Okay.
Marika did send that language around to the list, and I'll send it around again so that everybody has it in front of them. And I also have the same email here in Adobe Connect, which I'm happy to bring up as well.
Okay, thank you very much. So, the question is right now, so how further on to deal with that, either to leave the deferral of motions, either to leave it as it is or wait in that way, like Ron was suggesting. Ron, do you have an additional comment, or is it?
Yes, I do, if I may.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah.
I'm just looking at the very last post of Aubrey at the very bottom of this, what we're all looking at on the Adobe Connect, and her comments are the kind of the way I see it as well. You know, do we leave it as a practice? Do we leave it as it is? Do we leave it as a practice or create a rule? If we leave it as a practice, do we monitor and check back in a year? This refers back to my comment about a light touch. We all agree that it has not been abused in the past, and it's gone along quite well. There's been an appropriate use of this, despite the fact that there's not been a rule in place. So if it were to come to a vote, from my point of view, I would say we come back and monitor it in a year and see if the numbers that we've seen at the very top of this document, where it's noted the number of deferrals, there was very, very few over the course of time, and whether if those numbers change radically and that we need to step in and do something. So I would certainly vote to just leave it as it is and monitor it and see where it goes. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Ron. Do we have, if we would go that way, so let me just ask in this way, do we have to, is it necessary, well, to have some criteria for monitoring? So you mentioned, okay, the number of cases, you know, one time, two time requests for deferral and these things. Would it be necessary, well, to establish more or to come up with more criteria along that way, or would that be enough? So, because I'm thinking about what is going to happen then after 1 year if we have this statistic. So you know that people are sensitive to numbers. That means one is more sensitive, one less sensitive. So that means, okay, three would be high for somebody, five would be not as high for somebody else. And so I'm just thinking about, so is that enough for us to have those criteria in case we go that way? Is there any opinion on that or any opposition, any other comments, Ron was saying? Or in addition, Ron, he's coming up again, please.
I'm sorry, Wolf, I feel like this conversation is happening between the two of us and our colleagues are watching a tennis match. but I just wanted to respond to what you've just said regarding the numbers. As we've seen so far to date, it has not been abused. But if a rule were to be put in place, I think let's do something that makes common sense. If people are starting to abuse it, then we say, okay, one deferral, that's it. One and you're done. I don't think there's a question of whether or not we think one is too few, three is too many.
Mm-hmm.
Just right now, it's not being abused. If it gets abused, we say, okay, you get one deferral. And I think this is very clear cut. I don't think we need to start trying to divine the thinking of people in advance. Right now, we're seeing very little abuse of this, but the reason it got brought to our attention is because there is no rule. And I think that many of us in this group, I don't see any violent disagreement to what we're discussing here from any quarter within our team saying that we should not allow it. So I think what we might want to do is just, you know, kind of put it to a vote of the SCI, you know, put on list so that everyone can comment on it, whether or not we should just wait and watch or whether we should take action. But if we take action, my part, you know, one deferral is plenty because there's enough time in between the two council meetings where whoever needed that extra time would have the time, and they would know they have to take advantage of that short window. Yeah. They don't have a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So, Ron, may I ask you, because you was also in that group, or let me say one of the leading members of that group or coordinating members of that group, that you could put that together. So just to, I think we have in, right now in our meeting no opposition, but Avi is not here, others are also not here, so that we have this very clear from us is a suggestion leaving as it is as practical and monitoring it in this and that way. So that would be a proposal, and then we put it to the list, and maybe there's another round of discussion about that, and then we could forward it to the council if agreed to.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, and if Julie would agree to work with me, we could make sure that it's covered off, you know, from the ICANN perspective, that what we're putting forward is something that's actionable. So happy to, I mean, as I see it, it's just a very short couple of lines, and if Julie, you're in agreement with that, then perhaps you and I could take this offline, and I could send you a draft, and you can turn it around, and we can send it then to the chair for his approval before we then send it to the list.
Yes. Okay, that would be great, yeah?
Very good. Thank you.
This is Julie Hedlund, and I'll be happy to work with you on that, Ron. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both. Thank you both. Well, it's good to have a tennis match. I think so. We make progress here. The next point is of discussion is the PDP, delay, voting threshold for delaying a PDP. I wonder whether we can discuss it right now if there are opinions. I didn't see that paper. I'm just seeing that the first time. But looking to the minutes of the last time, there's also the question on leaving it as it is or monitoring. Was that different? No, was it because that was under that point? I'm just a little bit confused whether this might have been put under the point for deferral of motions. Yeah, I think that was, you know, it was changed. You know, if you look to the minutes of the last meeting, I think that was changed. There was a discussion of the work in the wiki pages solution and in the suggestion of language. So that is what right now came up from Marika, and I think that is what we are talking about and what Marika was asking for comments on that. Is there any comment, general comment, or what else? I see Julie, please.
Oh, I was simply going to agree with you, Wolf Ulrich. That's right.
Okay. Well, I personally, I didn't have a chance where I didn't read that and see that. So I would like to, if I could, comment on that, but on the list and further on. Is there something else at the time being for this meeting any comment from somebody, because Marika is not here, so she cannot talk about that, but if there's any
comments. This is Anne.
Oh, yes, Anne, please.
Regarding the language that is up in front of us, with respect to paragraph 2, changing circumstances, I'm seeing, I guess, what is an addition in bold language that says, or warranting a suspension.
Yes.
And I gather that relates back to the significant cause that's required to terminate or suspend. But I think that that language is far too general because it's rather circular. You're trying to make a standard for the determination of when you suspend or terminate, and you repeat or warranting a suspension. I don't think it helps define the standard.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of something that constructive to suggest, but I apologize, it's the first time I've considered this language.
Okay.
But it seems quite vague.
Uh-huh. Julie, do you have a comment?
Yes, just that I want to clarify that my understanding is that the language that Marika had suggested had to do with the definition suspend, and then that is the information that's down below. I think she's not here to mention this, but I don't think or warranting a suspension was language that came from staff, but it is language I think that subgroup had put forward for consideration. And I'm sensing, you know, as Angie mentioned, that there needs to be more discussion of all of the suggested language with respect to suspending a PDP, in addition to the definitional language that was requested from staff.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. So I'm looking. Do we have here also people from the group who developed a new PDP? Yes, we have. So I myself, I was also on that group. I'm just thinking about so. We should wait for some written comments on that, or we can also discuss it here. I see Ron.
Could someone just confirm to me what my understanding on this was? The reason that this has come up was until now there was never most PDPs that were initiated went through without issue, but there was the issue that VeriSign was negotiating its contract, and there was discussion about a PDP on Thick Who Is, and for some reason this thing got sidetracked and got postponed. And that, as far as I understand it, was where this came from. So if we look back, if we can get clarifications. In fact, I'm correct with what I'm suggesting here, that was what initiated this. At least we could analyze something in real terms. Because right now, when we look at, from my point of view, the whole organization has been restructured based on the concept of PDP development and work groups and so forth, and no longer the council debating and dialoguing, but rather forming these different groups to debate and dialogue and come up with solutions that would fit the need on those PDPs. And so for a PDP to be stopped or to be postponed, is really, in my view, a very dangerous thing for us to have happen as an organization. Once this thing has started, the train starts down the track, there will be nothing that can stop that unless there's some extraordinary circumstance. And that's, I think, what we need to be looking at more closely. I am, for myself, I have complete ignorance. I'm not nearly as familiar with all the circumstances around that. So I'm wondering if someone could, our staff or someone else, could come forward and clarify exactly what happened with the specific example that caused this to come to our table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, Ron. I see James. James, please.
Thanks, Wolf. James speaking. Just to follow up with Ron's comment. You know, I think that when we originally discussed this way back on the PPNS or PPSO, or I can't even remember the acronym anymore, but the group that was doing the PDP improvements, we were trying to think of a symmetrical process management where, you know, that the different that some point in the history that there would be this desire to shut off a PDP, whether there was no longer a need for it, whether the situation that it was meant to address had fundamentally changed, or something along those lines. We felt that there should be some symmetric mechanism formally defined so that the same chartering organization that initiated the PDP could then shut it off. I don't think it was intended to be a routine, at least my knowledge is it was not supposed to be something that was routine or common, but was designed to be used in those extraordinarily rare or exceptional circumstances and to prevent various groups or chartering organizations from kind of making that up as they went along and put it through a formally defined process. So I think that was at least my recommendation of my intentions when we were participating in that group. I think others could have maybe have different memories as well. So thanks.
Yeah, okay, thanks, James. Well, it's good to reflect on that. So this is, I think that's you're right with that. So I understand right now Anne's comment to the second point, also maybe to the other additions here, amendments, that we are uncertain whether the new formulation, the new sentence phrasing, would be, let me say, too vague and not to be too clear, clear enough. Well, what we then should discuss or think about is, you know, what from our point of view, in case with such a phrasing, what could be the consequence of that, and how it touches the PDP itself. So I'm personally just brainstorming about that. So I'm not very not clear. I do not have a specific idea on that. But I'm also looking for a clear language on that, so that everybody could agree to that, so rather than we have a vague one. Anne, please.
Yes, this is Anne Aikman-Scalise, Wolf Ulrich, and I had just a procedural question about the folks who were involved in the PDP process. Was the issue of suspension considered in the PDP process previously at all, or is it just now a late-breaking issue in relation to suspension? Because I would have thought there was this long involved process with the PDP manual and a study by the group. Is suspension a question that's just now arisen? This is further on to Ron's questions, really, of how this all came up, because there were so many changes made in connection with the new PDP process and the new manual. And so is this an add-on or what? I don't understand the procedural context.
Yes, well, I don't have an answer, not yet, immediately, but I should have to go back and also think and dig into the history, you know, to find out what really happened there. What is your question behind that? I would like to understand. And in case it just came up right now, or
my question relates to some of the questions I raised in the email that I sent about where the authority comes from for GNSO to terminate and in this case, I guess, suspend, in particular if the ICAM board asks GNSO Council to initiate a PDP, then what's the background on the authority here for either for termination or suspension? And I figured that those who were involved in the whole PDP process, you know, may have looked at that issue at the time and may have discussed the authority for termination overall and talked about, and I don't know whether they did or did not talk about suspension at the time. So it's just more or less trying to understand the background of the authority to terminate and the authority to suspend and where that comes from, for example, if the board itself has requested the PDP be undertaken.
I personally I can't answer the answer. I'm asking James whether he has some better understanding of the history of that. James, please.
Well, I'm dusting off some old memories here, but I think that what we weren't specific to GNSO. I think we did try to identify a concept called the chartering organization, or whichever organization started the or initiated the PDP should also be the organization that was vested with the authority to suspend or terminate the PDP.
Yeah.
So I don't think that we were specific to GNSO unless the PDP originated with the GNSO. Now, why I'm confusing myself just by even trying to remember this is that I believe even in the case where the board initiates the PDP, it still has to go through the GNSO at some point on its path. And maybe staff can tell me I'm getting into the weeds here a little bit, but I thought that the board can initiate a PDP, but it still is causing the GNSO to initiate the PDP. So where, even in those situations, I think that we made a distinction between the body that may have managed the policy development process versus the body that that initiated that process. But this is now going back almost 2 years, and I'm getting pretty hazy on the on the detail. So thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, James. But it helps, I think, so for understanding. And do you still have your hands on up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. What you came with, James, was okay. That this is principle we discussed. That means that. Suspension or any kind of termination or suspension should be referred to the body who initiated also the PDP, and this is the question. Is that also reflected here in Marika's statement? I was wondering, you know, because maybe it is also, but the question is then how? So if you have this principle, then how we handle, or how the GNSO Council may handle that process of termination or suspension. So I wonder. I think we have some arguments, some pros and cons here. And I understand you have already sent your comments on that in the past, so we could look to the wiki as well. And the question is then, I think for this time, maybe too early, well, to summarize here, but. We could put some arguments again to the list and then discuss it further on the list. So this question and the question of definition of suspension and termination and the pros and cons for that, so that we have a more clear understanding of the different positions for the next time. I see, okay, Anne is also agreeing to that. Let's do it this way. So, and then for this point, then leave for this time. Okay, because we are also short 5 minutes. We have still 5 minutes or 6 minutes to go, and we have still the other point is okay, raising an issue. Raising an issue. That is. Oh yes, that's. We have also a suggestion had from the last time that Mary would come up with a suggestion on that, but she could not participate this time, and she promised well to come up with some suggestions together with Jay Scott. Oh, I'm afraid so. We do not have her here in the meeting. I'm going to ask her again because maybe she could provide some ideas or some suggestion for the list, and then we have something to discuss. Because otherwise, from my point of view, I cannot add anything at the time being, and I don't see anybody. Okay, see Anne with.
Yes, Wolf-Ulrich, this is Anne. I had understood from comments that Mary made that she and Jay Scott were drafting a letter to the board to the GNSL Council to ask for a clarification on this issue. Was that where
that's
we were?
That's correct, and she was going to draft the letter, and I was going to serve as her editor, and I have not seen anything.
Oh,
okay.
Jay Scott, hello. Oh, thank you. Okay, so the understanding is that there should be drafted a letter to the GNSL Council asking for that for clarification on that point, and then come back with that. Personally, let me just comment on that. So because I was not last time not available in the meeting. I think this point didn't come up with the council raising an issue. So it's just in the charter of the SCI, but it didn't come up from the council. It came up because somebody, I think from ALAC, it was Evan Leibovich, he came up with a question with regards to the statement of interest, if I recall that correctly. And he was suggesting some smaller amendments or some kind of amendments to the SOI or the process of the SOI. So that was my understanding. And then that was the question then in our group here, can we accept this as a question to the SEI because our charter is just admitting that we accept proposals coming directly from the council or from any group, not from individuals. So that's how I recall this, what happened that time. So I'm afraid if you send a letter to the council, there will not be any reaction because the council didn't ask us. The only question is, you know, when we look to our charter, so do we open are we going to open the charter while also admitting individuals to come up with proposals for any items which the SCI should deal with? So that was the only question about that. And this is the behind of that. I see Anne, please. Yeah.
Yes, well, for to me, even though I wasn't able to participate in that session, the letter to the council makes a great deal of sense because it's asking for clarification with respect to the meaning of the charter. And since the charter itself comes from the council, it's perfectly appropriate to write to the council to clarify the scope of the charter.
Okay.
So I think it's a very good procedure to follow.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. So that's that way. So then if it's that way, that the council should be asked with regard to the charter because he put the charter on us, so then that's okay. So that means some explanation why we are asking that and what is the way. But shouldn't we, this is my question, when we are going to ask the council, what should be asked to the council? Should it be asked to the council whether the right of raising an issue should be handled more flexible in the future, if opened to individuals? Is that the way how it should be asked, or is it just that we are waiting for a proposal made by Mary and then we send it out to the council? Just for my understanding, one please.
Thank you, Wolf. I'm not sure what rationale we have or that it's been heard by the SCI with regard to why we would not take anyone's issues up. Why would it have to come from the council or from the working group? Why could it not come from one of the supporting organizations or one of the constituencies? I can see that perhaps not taking it from just an individual who happens to show up at an ICANN meeting is not happy with something and wants to bring something to our table. We would expect that individual would go through a constituency or a supporting organization. But I don't see why would we want to constrain ourselves. Our job as an SCI is, again, just to knock rough edges off of the various policies that were discussed and reviewed by work teams and now are in place. And when they're not functioning to the best of the hope for design, our job is just to try to round those corners off so that they do. So what's the argument for not taking that when we have a constituency or a supporting group that's uncomfortable with something or feels that we need to review it? I don't see why we couldn't take it up. We may well say that, you know, there's a particular reason that we feel that this constituency or that supporting group is pushing for this because they would like, you know, not to see this formulated in a certain way because it, for some reason, it doesn't benefit them as much as they would hope, or some such like. But my point here is simply to say that I think we should be a little broader in our approach and allow any recognized organization within the ICANN community to bring something forward that they feel is not quite right. We look at it, we determine whether we feel that's correct or incorrect, but at least, you know, it gives people, it's a more holistic approach as opposed to an exclusionary approach. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Julie, please.
Yes, just quickly, I think that the question was, with respect to what you said, Ron, is because the charter for the SCI limits how a request may be made, I think that we are considering going back to the council to say whether or not the council has some guidance as far as a recommendation to broaden where requests can come from. Because right now the charter for the SCI says such requests can be made by either the GNSO council or a group chartered by the GNSO council. And so I think one of the questions is whether or not the SCI would want to ask the council to change its charter, and the council would be the one that would have to do that, being the chartering organization.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for clarification, and I think this is the way we should go, and Mary, as I understand, is going to draft this, and we'll send the first draft, the third outline, at Jay's for coordination. I can refer to Mary again, so and ask her, so because no, she couldn't participate, and she cannot participate in August at all. So and then we will continue with that item. Julie, still hands up?
No, sorry.
No, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. I think for today, so we have covered these points. So with regard to the working groups survey, there was something I think also Marika was for sending out, and I would propose that we would come to that point the next time. Time is over right now. I have asked with regard to the next meeting, Is it? I think we have to do the poll until the end of August. Ask, is that correct, Julie? Do you know that, or Natalie? Do you know that?
This is Julie. I'll defer to Natalie on that. I think the poll went through August. Natalie, do you know offhand?
Do we have a chance? Let me say in 14 days, in 2 weeks. I personally do not have time. I have an overlap with others, with other duties. That would be then this is the 24th, but the week after that, 31st of August, would that be feasible?
This is Julie. I will check with Natalie and with Glenn to see.
Yes, just asking here, the participants here, is there anything against from your point of view to have the next meeting in 3 weeks from now? So let's fix it. Let's put it for the 31st of August. On that date, Thursday, same time. Okay, we'll send out an invitation for that. Okay? Yeah, so thank you very much. Also for the next meeting, then we have the 20th of August over, and then we can decide upon the first item on content agenda and so on. So thank you very much, and see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And.